Welcome to That's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
Welcome back to That's Wild. It's the podcast about all things untamed in the natural state. I'm your host, Susan Altrui, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Joy Matlock.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome again.
Thank you.
So, before we get into today's topics, what are we talking about, Joy?
Well, I thought we'd start today's episode with a little bit of a challenge.
Oh, a challenge.
You've worked at the zoo for several years, mm-hmm. so do mm-hmm. you know what animals are just by the sounds that they make, Susan?
You know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but there are some that are my favorites based on their sounds.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Shall I ask, what is your favorite?
One of my favorite animals by their sound oh, is our Siamangs.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. And you know what a lot of people say about our Siamangs. So, mm-hmm. you know, because we are a city zoo and we are in the middle of the city mm-hmm. in War Memorial Park, which yes. is literally dead center of the city. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that live around us, and we have people all the time tell us early in the morning they hear our Siamangs sing.
That's true.
And the Siamang, of course, is a lesser ape with the big throat pocket.
Yes.
And they can be heard from miles around. Mm-hmm. Do you know what sound they make?
I bet you're going to let me know.
Mm-hmm. So I have actually become quite the expert in imitating the Siamang. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a demonstration.
I cannot
wait.
It's
kind of a whoop, 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 whoop. So that is their call.
I had no idea there was not a Siamang in this room right now. You could have told me there was one.
So that is my Siamang, my best Siamang imitation.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. And I'll tell you, I've talked to some of our keepers and the primate team, and that's their territorial call, like mm-hmm. you said.
Yeah.
It can be heard throughout the city.
That's
like
right.
It's right in the heart
that's
of
right.
Little Rock. And
yeah.
I literally have been going to one of the hospitals in the area that's yeah. a little bit further yeah. from the zoo, and you can hear it.
Yes. So, yes. You yeah. can hear it all around, which is pretty cool to have the Siamangs. And it kind of lets you know that the Little Rock Zoo is there. So,
exactly.
Yeah. That's,
exactly.
That's our call, the Siamang call.
All right.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple sounds here for you to guess. Are you ready?
Oh, for me to guess. Now, if I don't know, do I get to phone a friend?
Potentially. Or you could call the Siamang that's back.
We can call the Siamangs up to see if they know what sound it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, because
exactly.
you know, the animals can always identify sounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna put on these headphones.
This is an easy one to get okay. started.
Oh, that's easy. That's a horse.
Is it a horse?
Is it a horse? Horse is a horse, of course, right?
So, I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
This friendly four-legged pal might greet you with a high-pitched neigh or a soft knicker, especially if you're holding snacks.
Uh-huh. Is it a mini horse?
I'll give you half credit. It's a pony.
Oh, it's a pony. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a pony. Details, details, details. I mean, my God.
Just a few fun facts about ponies.
Okay.
A loud neigh often means that they're calling out to friends
yeah.
or feeling anxious
okay.
when they're separated from their friends.
Okay.
So that's an interesting
thing. I mean, I do that when I'm separated from my friends.
I do too.
I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I'm often calling out when I'm separated from my friends. Like, where are you?
I do the same. I do the same.
You know, it happens all the time.
And they have a soft greeting sound used when they're happy to see you, too. So
okay.
that's good, too.
Well, that's good to know.
It is.
Yeah, we have miniature horses at the zoo.
We do.
We have one, Lily.
Lily, very famous
people, very
Lily.
Famous Lily.
Yes.
Now, she can be a little mean
I've been
to
told
other animals.
She can be very mean, actually.
Yeah, yeah mm-hmm. but she's a star with the public.
People love Lily.
They love Lily.
And her keepers will braid mm-hmm. her hair.
Yes.
And when she's had birthday parties in the past, they'll put a unicorn horn on
oh
her.
Gosh.
She's adorable.
Yes,
Lily's
we take her out amongst the public, and she
mm-hmm.
has her own fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of her biggest fans actually has that I know of is a friend of mine, has a picture of her on his desk. That's how much he likes Lily.
Yeah. Love that.
Own fan club. Lily has her own fan club. But she has to live with our alpacas who keep her in line
yes.
because she can't live with the other farm animals.
Yes. It's
She's
usually,
a little bit of a bully.
It's usually the smallest ones who think they're big
isn't
stuff.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Isn't it, though?
It's usually the smallest
yeah.
ones.
Isn't it, though? It is what it is.
I may or may not be able to
All right, what else you got
that.
For me, Joy?
Okay.
Okay, let me put these back on. Okay.
Sound number two.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you would give me a bird. Is that a bird? What?
Okay, you need some hints?
Uh-huh.
This little primate may be small.
This is a primate?
It's a primate. But its chatter can sound like a squeaky toy having a meltdown, known for its smarts and its mischief.
And that's a primate.
Mm.
Can I hear it again? Oh, I'm stumped on this one, Joy.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a hint.
Okay.
Think of Ross on Friends. What kind of pet
is it? Capuchin?
Yes.
That's a capuchin.
Yeah, that's a capuchin.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a bird. That just goes to show you how unique and different animal sounds
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A couple fun facts. Capuchins have over 30 unique vocalizations.
Wow.
So it's possible that you were hearing a couple
that
of the unique ones that they have.
Joy. Oh my goodness.
They have sounds that they use to warn predators and express emotions or even manipulate social situations. So, do you have sounds that manipulate social situations?
Not at all, Joanna. Yes.
And their vocal skills match their cleverness. They've been seen using tools and solving puzzles as well. So, capuchins are pretty smart.
Okay.
Yep. Pretty smart.
Well, that's interesting. So, very interesting, actually. So, manipulating people with their sounds, other animals with their sounds. Well, I wonder what they would do with that.
Maybe they're trying to tell predators, maybe distract predators. Maybe,
okay, that would make
perhaps.
Sense. Yeah.
Maybe they're competing with other males for potential mating status.
Yeah, that makes
that
sense.
Yeah, okay. They could be warning their friends.
Okay. Now it's your turn.
Okay,
you get to guess. Okay.
That sounds like a bird of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like a goose.
Yes. Good job. It's a goose.
Good
point. Uh-huh. So this noisy, unexpected alarm clock in the park travels in a V formation and honks the whole way there.
Believe it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We often see them a lot of times. They are on our flyway, so we often see them in Arkansas. A little fun fact about geese. They honk to stay in touch while flying in formation. Their honks can differ by region, and they have their own dialect. Isn't that interesting?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if they have a southern dialect.
I'm sure they do.
Hey, y'all, we're going to fly on down to Arkansas.
I actually have
southern geese.
I have a goose story.
Oh, okay.
It's very interesting.
Okay. Do tell.
So my uncle... lives in Ghana.
Okay.
And it's traditional to give animals for Christmas or things like that. So his boss had given him a goose.
A live goose.
A live goose.
Oh.
But it was meant for Christmas.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But he had my young cousins and they grew fond of the goose.
Uh-huh.
So the goose became a family pet.
Oh.
And the goose's name was Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
True story.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson they had as their pet. And Mr. Johnson would honk at cars that weren't familiar to him. He would honk at people that, I mean, he was kind of an attack guard goose.
Oh, guard goose.
Oh, yeah. Until one day, Mr. Johnson laid an egg.
Oh, Mrs. Johnson!
Yes. But even though that happened, he was still Mr. Johnson. She was still Mr. Johnson.
Well,
so
yeah,
that was the joke that Mr. Johnson was.
That often happens. Sometimes we mislabel, and then years later, we find out that Mr. is Mrs.
Exactly.
You know, they lay an egg.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then she still remained Mr. Johnson. I love that story.
Mm. So one last fun fact about geese. If you hear one hissing, beware. It could be on guard duty, so watch out. Okay, here's your next animal. Sound.
Okay.
So here it comes.
That's a big cat.
No. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. This scaly creature doesn't roar, but its low bellow shakes the water and it might rattle your nerves if you saw it in the wild.
Alligator.
Yes. Good job, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
You are crushing it.
I mean,
my goodness.
I've been at the zoo 6 years now. I'm a little bit of an expert.
Clearly. Okay. So fun facts. Males bellow during mating season, making low frequency rumbles that vibrate through the water.
Okay.
It's one of the only reptiles that makes vocal sounds to communicate, which is very interesting.
That's interesting.
Baby gators chirp to get their mom's attention, a rare behavior in reptiles. So, isn't that interesting?
That's neat. So, yeah. Calls and communication and mm-hmm. expressing mm-hmm. themselves.
Yeah.
Talking to their parents.
Uh-huh.
That's what we all do when we communicate.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's what today's episode is all about. We're going to be talking a little bit about animal management, the chirps, and all of those fun things about the animal care and what we see in animals and how we care for everyone from the teeniest animals to the tallest.
I love all the sounds at the zoo. It makes me feel proud to be there, and the work that we do, making sure that there's no more, that we don't ever stop hearing their sounds, and that I love that.
Yes, absolutely. We never want to see those calls quieted, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is for sure. So, before we dive in, let's start with something that we are all really proud of, and that is the fact that we are an AZA-accredited zoo, and we are the only one in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. And that matters because, and I'll say AZA means the Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
Yes.
That means that we are connected with a huge network.
Yes.
And it means that we meet the highest standards of animal well-being and animal care.
Yes.
We hold ourselves up to those standards, and we are also made accountable for the standards that we say we're going to reach every year.
Yes. And a little fun fact about being AZA accredited. If you are a zoological facility like we are, you have to have a license from the USDA, and there are about 2,000 organizations that have that license.
Wow.
And of those 2,000, only about 200 actually meet the rigorous requirements to be accredited by AZA.
That's amazing.
So it really is an elite group of zoos and aquariums that are AZA accredited. Very rigorous standards to be an accredited zoo. So
something to be
something
proud
to
of.
Be proud of. Absolutely
something to be proud
something
of.
To
for
be
sure.
Proud of.
For sure.
Another thing about being an accredited zoo or aquarium is that we belong to what's called an SSP. So an SSP is the Species Survival Plan. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of different SSPs that we work with. And these are organizations that come up with breeding plans and housing plans for some of our different animals that are threatened or endangered, some that are critically endangered. And this is all for what's best for that species.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a group of experts, if you will, from different zoos and aquariums that meet regularly, and they come up with the plans for this particular animal.
Mm-hmm.
And they are experts in that field for that particular animal. I like to call it Tinder for animals, if you will.
A little dating service.
A little dating service for animals, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and it's very interesting because it's a lot of science that goes
Absolutely.
Into it. So we're looking at not just the genes and the genetic diversity of those populations, but we're also looking at the behavioral history of these mm-hmm. animals, too. So you might have, for instance, tigers. Let's take tigers mm-hmm. because tigers are fascinating when we look at the SSP. We might have tigers, like a male, who is very genetically valuable, but he might not necessarily be a gentleman. He mm-hmm. might have a behavioral history where he's mm-hmm. overly aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to pair him with a female because there's a risk that he could kill her in mm-hmm. mating, mm-hmm. and we don't want to see that happen.
Right.
So there's a lot that goes into the decision making over what animals we pair with one another. So a whole lot of things that go into that decision-making process.
That reminds me of the rhino SSP that we're a part of at the Little Rock Zoo mm-hmm. and how we had the male Johari who
yes.
was very, very valuable.
Yes.
And for several years, we wanted him to become a father.
Yeah.
And finally, about 3 or 4 years ago, I guess about 4 years ago now,
yeah.
he did.
Yes.
And because he was very special. His genes were something that the SSP wanted to make sure was replicated.
Well, represented,
and,
yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. and finally, he and Andazi were able to have Kevin.
Yes,
so
Kevin.
Now we have
we
Kevin.
Love Kevin.
Yeah.
We love Kevin. You know, it's a real interesting part of that story. We got Andazi from the Zoo Atlanta on a recommendation from the SSP. She
okay,
was
nice.
Transferred to our zoo. And this is all done cooperatively. You know, we don't buy animals.
Right.
We transfer animals cooperatively.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Andazi was brought to our zoo from Zoo Atlanta on that breeding recommendation, a little fun fact about Andazi. Her records came with a little note, and it said, "Proven breeder."
Oh, okay. She had birth and hips.
Get the job done. Birth and hips.
Birth and hips. That's
proven
what that means.
Breeder. Wouldn't you like to have that on your resume?
Well, I mean, if it was important to know.
Oh, you know.
Put it on there.
It's important to know these things. So, yeah. But the process is tough. Every 5 years with accreditation, we are audited on everything from how we care for animals to how we manage facilities and also how we engage with the public.
It's not just a sticker that we get to slap on the front door that says we have the AZA star
right.
of approval.
That's exactly right.
It's a lot of work. And even just to get our records in order to be inspected
yeah.
is at least a 12-month to 18-month process.
Yes, it
so,
is.
So just to make sure that we have everything, all our T's crossed and I's dotted as part of that process. It's very rigorous.
Yes.
And it involves everybody from guest services to marketing to... And of course, especially veterinary care and what animal
yes.
well-being is like.
Yes.
So it's intense and it's thorough.
It is very
and
thorough.
As it needs to be, because
yes,
we
absolutely.
Are caretakers for very special animals.
Precious
and,
cargo.
And we have to make sure that we do it right.
Yes, very precious cargo.
So it's a big picture strategy,
mm-hmm.
and we're proud to be a part of that. And we have a great example here right at the zoo of being part of the SSP. Rihanna, our fusa, is one of those examples.
You know, I always debate, is it FASA or FUSA?
It's FUSA.
FUSA, isn't
yes,
it? It's
I have
FUSA.
Been.
Because
yeah.
I said FASA one day, and they were like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's not. Mm-mm, you're saying it wrong.
They'll make sure that you say it correctly. So
look, our animal staff will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's
yes.
why when I met, mm-hmm. I said, oh, no, it's not.
Mm-mm.
It's FUSA.
Mm-mm.
It's FUSA.
Nope. Mm-mm. Well, Rihanna is about 16 years old now,
mm-hmm.
and if you've never seen a FUSA before, picture something that looks like a cross between a cat and a mongoose.
Uh-huh.
For those at home, they're like Googling mongoose right now, Googling FUSA. She's very sleek. She's very agile. Very unique animal. You know, it's surprising the number of people we have that come to the zoo looking for the FUSA because they want to
mm-hmm.
see the FUSA. It's a unique animal.
Very unique.
Yeah.
And first of
yeah.
all, I had never heard of a FUSA before I started working at the
yeah.
zoo, much less knowing what it looked
mm-mm.
like.
Yeah.
And I probably would have said mongoose when I saw her the first
right.
time.
Yeah.
But she is a little bit older. She's 16 years old.
Yeah.
And by housing this older FUSA, we're helping make space in other facilities for younger breeding FUSAs.
Yep.
And that's how the SSP works. Like you
yes.
were saying, it's a kind of yeah. an organization within the organization that looks at the population of a particular animal all throughout the kingdom, if you will, of animals.
Yeah.
And knowing that who wants to, they want to breed with whom, and keeping space for younger ones in other places. So it's a kind of a great big puzzle, if you will, to make sure that we get these species replicated.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. So in certain circumstances, we are actually trying to breed, but then in other circumstances, we're not breeding, but we're making room at other facilities where they are breeding.
Exactly.
So that's also very important.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true too.
That's a really, really good point that I want to make. It's not always about us breeding every single time. In every single instance, is that there are other facilities that do have those recommendations, so then we have to make the space for that.
Right.
And so it's a very cooperative arrangement that we have with all of the other AZA accredited facilities that are in this area in North America.
It's fascinating. As a
yeah.
civilian, before I started working at the zoo, I always wondered how do zoos get their animals, and so when I finally started to understand this process, it just blew my mind.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very coordinated.
What really I think was interesting to me too is the knowledge that is shared amongst our caregivers on how to care for these animals
mm-hmm.
too. For example, to keep her healthy and happy, our carnivore team designed her exhibit to feel like her native Madagascar.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of climbing structures, there's logs, there's platforms. So, you know, that sharing of knowledge within the SSP and with those care teams, that has also really enhanced our animal care. So
mm-hmm.
being a part of AZA means that it opens up the doors to that sharing of knowledge amongst other animal experts, which I think is just a really great thing that we have that tool.
Yeah, and that's unique in our industry that you see a standalone zoo, like mm-hmm. the Nashville Zoo or Memphis Zoo, Little Rock Zoo, but we really are working together.
Yes, definitely.
And you were talking about her her habitat. She also has swings and hammocks and tunnels, and her keepers say that she's surprisingly spry at her age of 16 years old.
Yeah.
And she climbs straight up and down, and she's very, very active. So
yeah.
we've kept her healthy, and we've kept her, you know, doing what she can
yep.
for her age.
Yeah, she's nimble and curious, and you can come and visit her in the small carnivore area, just with other animals that we have, like the servals. So please come drop in and see her anytime.
And we've named the FUSA, and we also talked about Jahari
yeah.
and the rhinos, but we have several other species at
yes.
our zoo
yeah,
that are part
Kevin
of this species.
And Kevin's mom, now that you can come
mm-hmm.
see. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Lots of things to come and see at the zoo that are part of the SSP. Everything from birds to primates. We work closely with AZA and other accredited zoos to support healthy, sustainable populations. And definitely, it's all about collaboration.
And sure. One area where the Little Rock Zoo really stands out is elephant care.
Yeah.
We specialize in caring for older female elephants that are in their kind of geriatric phase of life.
Yes, that's one thing we're really proud of, our elephant habitat. It's definitely like a retirement home. We've got mud and wallows and mm-hmm. a pool that they can mm-hmm. dip into mm-hmm. in the hot summer heat. It's something that we really pride ourselves in is the care that we take of our elderly elephants.
And that's always fun to watch them get baths in the morning.
Yes.
And they go through their exercises.
Yes,
I love that.
And
because we don't house males or younger elephants, mm-hmm. we're able to create a space that's calm and comfortable and totally tailored to their unique needs.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. And our team works really hard to support that. To support their physical health, their emotional well-being, and everything it takes to have older elephants.
And they really, really love them.
Oh my gosh, don't they?
The elephant
yes.
team really, really loves
yes.
those girls.
Yes.
It's a really beautiful example of animal management in action.
Yes.
They respect each animal's stage of life, and we make sure they thrive every day.
Yes, they do. Yes.
So we've talked about giants and we've talked about tree climbers, but what about someone who's more down to earth?
Oh, okay.
Literally.
Something that's down to earth. That sounds like we have a special guest maybe coming up.
Maybe.
Okay.
So let's see that
Hannah may have something special for us to take a look at.
I can't wait.
All right. Let's see what Hannah's got. So Hannah, tell us about the friend that you've brought today.
Okay. I have an important question for you too before we start.
Okay.
Did you paint your nails for this occasion?
You know what? they are blue just like our friend's
yep.
tongue.
It's why I wore blue today. Oh, legitimately.
Love that.
We absolutely love that.
I'm the odd man
yes.
out, sorry.
I should have given you the memo.
I apologize.
Well, clearly I got the memo. So yeah.
Well, this is Iris. She is a blue tongue skink. Aptly named because they have blue tongues. The reason they have blue tongues are a couple of reasons. One is it startles predators. So if you can imagine, you know, she's usually pretty camouflaged in her environment. If you can imagine you're feeling hungry, you go up to her, you're like, great, we've got a lizard snack. And then you see this bright blue tongue flash. It can be startling. It also, in the animal kingdom, we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. aposematic coloration. Do you guys know what that means?
Oh, you're going to have to give us that definition.
Okay. Basically, it means bright colors in the animal kingdom are a danger. So she's not poisonous or venomous, but they don't know that. Predators might not necessarily know that. They see a bright color and it's a warning. So,
is it called again? Say it again.
Aposematic.
Aposematic.
Okay.
I need you to remember that, right?
That's the word
of the day.
Aposematic.
We love that.
Okay,
love that.
So these guys are native to Australia and not Tanzania. I always get this flip-flops. Tasmania. You see.
Yes. Other part of the
which
world.
Which is very different part of the world. And they are fortunately least concern in the wild, but there are subspecies that are facing extinction, but that's another story for another day.
Mm-hmm.
So she is an ambassador animal.
What does
that means mean? A lot of different things about her care than our other exhibit animals at the zoo. For example, she has a work schedule, so she's got her own labor union, and it's me. So ambassador animals, we're asking them to do a lot. We're asking mm-hmm. them to go out in the public, mm-hmm. meet kids. We do a lot of assessments before we make that happen, but she can only work 5 days a week. She gets 2 days
love
off.
That.
She
yes.
can only work so many times a day, so mm-hmm. it's really important yeah. that we're monitoring that kind of stuff for them.
So what are you assessing? What makes an animal a good ambassador animal?
Good question. So we're looking at a lot of things. Comfort is one. If you could see her right now, you would see she's sitting here. Mm-hmm. If she was showing any signs of stress, like hissing or trying to get away, that would be a sign to me that she's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. So we're always watching for different signs of stress. And then things like how she acts at home. If she, you know, went off her diet or stopped eating or just started acting odd, mm-hmm. that would be a red flag.
Mm-hmm. So you take a lot of effort and time into assessing the animal for whether or not they're appropriate to be an ambassador animal.
We do. Mm-hmm. And if they are not appropriate to be an ambassador, we called it a career change.
It's a career change, yes.
Earlier. We're not going to force them to do it. That, like I said, that's a big thing we're asking. So if we have an animal on a program, it's because we know they're comfortable. if they start showing signs they're uncomfortable, they take priority. We leave if we have to.
We give them the choice.
Absolutely. Yes. Like, it is up to them. We're not going to force them to do anything.
That's right.
Because we care about them as individuals, but they do also have an important job to play. So we do a lot of training to make sure that they're ready and as comfortable as possible.
Well, she's very comfortable.
Let me go get another better spot.
Yeah, yeah. So that's also part of being an accredited zoo, is the standards for the animal ambassadors, giving choice, making sure they're comfortable, mm-hmm. the assessment of their welfare and well-being. So that's a really important part, I think, of being an accredited zoo.
It is. And reptiles actually are great for this topic you guys have had today as far mm-hmm. as AZA zoo animal care. Because reptiles specifically can be really complicated to take care of, and they can be really common pets. So I'll give you a few things that are involved in Iris's care. They have to have a heat gradient. You know what that means, essentially, for
something
a reptile?
That can radiate heat towards her because she does not regulate her body temperature.
Correct. So they are ectothermic, so they can't control their own body temperature. So in her enclosure, she has a gradient. So she's got a hot side and a cool side. So again, with the choice, she can decide how hot she needs to be, how cool she needs to be. And that's really important for them, their metabolism and their body temperature. She has UV light requirements. UV is super important in some reptiles. They can have really bad bone issues if you don't give them appropriate UV. So naturally, she'd be living out in the wild with the sun. UV is not an issue.
Yeah.
In human care, that's something very, very, very important that they have to have. She also has to have supplements. They get calcium supplements. And she's an omnivore. I know you guys know what that means.
She eats everything.
She eats pretty much anything.
Okay. Now, does she have a favorite snack that she likes?
She loves bugs. Same. Yeah.
Yummy.
So in the wild, she would eat flowers, snails, berries, fruits, bugs. In human care, she's getting not the exact same things, but she's getting both meat and plants. She's getting bugs. She's getting a big variety. And it has to be fresh. In fact, I'm sure you do know this. I'm sure you know. You're the director of the zoo. Maybe you don't know this.
I don't know sometimes.
Do you know that our produce for our animals, including this sweet little reptile, mm-hmm. come from Sysco,
yes.
which is a company that supplies to restaurants? Absolutely. So she's getting human quality food.
Exactly.
So
yes.
It has to be fresh. It has to be something
Matter
we
fact,
would eat.
Matter of fact, that truck delivers daily. Because
Correct.
We have to have such fresh produce
right.
for
mm-hmm.
our animals.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a truck that delivers every single day for our animals. And they right. deliver to our commissary, which is where we keep our animal food. And we have to keep our food for our animals and the humans separate. Because mm-hmm. it's different quality. And we have a very high standard for our animal food. And it means that we are preparing it daily and making sure, and it's interesting too, because some of our food for the animals has to be cut up a certain way into little bitty bites for some of the animals.
Yeah, they can be particular.
They can be very particular, so the food preparation, that's always fascinating to me. How the food is prepared
right.
is also very interesting.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Will you go back to what you were talking about for supplements? What are we supplementing? Because I understand, you know, omnivore, she would be eating whatever she wanted out in the wild, but what are we supplementing based on the human quality food that she's
right
receiving.
It depends on the species, so different species need different supplements. These in particular need calcium, so she gets calcium supplement on her salads just to make, because again, the healthy bone density is really important for these guys.
Okay.
Animals like our penguins get a multivitamin, so they get that supplement. So it just depends on the animal.
With the penguins, do you put that in their fish?
Yes, we sneak it in their fish. So they never, I would say they never even know it's there. They do. Yeah, if they taste it, they spit it out. We have to get pretty sneaky.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff I said about care, mind you, this is considered a beginner reptile. So this is as easy as it gets.
Okay.
That's complicated.
For a reptile.
Yeah,
Which is why it is so important to do your research before you get a pet.
Yep.
I think a lot of people don't realize what a big commitment reptiles are. So I think I told you guys at the beginning she's an old lady.
Yes.
Do you know how old she is? Or do you want to guess?
I'll guess.
An old lady, blue tongue skink.
12.
I'm going to say 17.
She's 18.
Oh, is she?
Joy wins.
Oh, good job.
So she's 18 years old.
Wow.
They can easily live to be 20 years old.
Wow.
Which means if you're getting one or you're getting one for your kid, they could have to take it to college. So something to consider that they are a big commitment.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a big commitment.
Yep. So enrichment. I wanted to talk about that also. enrichment is really important for animals at zoos because, again, they're not in the wild. So we want to stimulate them mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. So every single animal at the zoo is on an enrichment schedule, including reptiles. So we want to encourage natural behaviors is one thing. Mm-hmm. Any idea what that might be for a lizard like this? Behaviors we'd want to see?
I'm going to guess.
Okay.
And say give her food, some live food, so she has to chase it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's one. Hunting.
Okay.
Something with the sun or the heat. Something a reptile would do.
Oh, just letting her out so she can sun herself.
Basking in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Basking is a big one. Hiding. You'll notice I brought her a hide today in case she felt like she needed to feel a little more secure. And burrowing. So a lot of these guys like to burrow.
Burrowing. Okay.
So those are just a couple. And then there are some physical ones we have, like, don't let her hear this, but this species can be prone to obesity.
Oh!
So we want to encourage good body condition.
Well, of course.
Yes. Which she looks great.
She looks great. She's bikini ready.
She's bikini ready. Yes, she looks so good.
And then shedding, reptile shed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of the reptile enrichment goals have to do with promoting healthy shed.
Does she shed?
She does.
She sheds.
It's not like a snake where it goes completely inside out. It tends to be in little pieces.
Okay.
And it's, so because of her age, she is an adult size. She's adult. She's as big as she's going to get.
Yes, and she's big. If you're listening and you can't see her, all of our producers today were surprised at her size. So we have skinks in Arkansas and in the United States that are a lot smaller. This is a whole different genus. They're much bigger in Australia. So this skink is bigger than my forearm. Okay. She's pretty big.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is full-sized.
Okay.
Can we describe her colors for people who are listening?
Yeah. So like I said, when her tongue is in her mouth, she's camouflaged very, very well.
Yeah.
So she's like a brownish gray color. They live in semi-desert and woodland areas.
Okay.
So brown coloration with black bands. I don't know. I can assume pretty well what those black bands are for. I didn't look this up or anything, but usually it's to break up shape. And it could have to do with like shadowing.
I'm assuming.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's pretty. And then that tongue is like a
bright blue
iris.
You don't want me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very cool.
She's just chill.
She's awesome. She's moved around a little bit to get comfortable, but now she's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing I wanted to say about their tongues.
Okay.
If you'll have me for another fact.
Of course.
Okay. They think that there are some UV properties to their tongue so that when they are showing it to predators that it actually is even that much more startling because, do you guys know, a lot of predators can see UV light. So like hawks, dogs can see UV. They can actually
see even brighter.
Yep.
That's so cool.
So it's even more intense than it looks to us.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I love all the facts you bring us, Hannah.
I'm full of them. And anyone who will listen, I will spew them.
Yeah. Well, I love hearing all the things about the care and the management of these animals. Always makes me think, you know, a cat or a dog is best.
Yeah, definitely do your research.
Go to your local shelter and get a cat or a dog. It's much easier than caring for a reptile. And it just goes to show the expertise that you and all of our staff have in caring for these animals and how much we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
I think we have amazing keepers and we're lucky to have them.
We are. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having it.
Big or small, furry or scaly, every animal at the zoo gets excellent care.
And animal management is so much more than just giving them food and shelter. As we've learned today, it's about enrichment, it's about medical care, it's about emotional well-being, and it's about long-term planning, like we talked about with SSPs. And it's not only just for the individuals, it's for the entire species.
Yes, and thanks to Hannah, our special guest, for bringing the blue-tongued skink on. What a wonderful special guest we had with Hannah.
Iris.
Oh my gosh. And thanks to you for listening.
So come visit us soon at the Little Rock Zoo and see everything that we just talked about today in action. Until next time,
stay wild.